that very large people who should have, in my opinion, never got that large to begin with, and they get on there like tipping the scales at like crazy amount of weights, like something our body wasn't designed to do, like 400 pounds or 350 pounds or something. I mean, that's a Mack truck coming down the road, you know.
And
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Hold on.
They have issues, yeah.
Well, they have issues. Thank you, Miss Murphy. And they get up there and they take their clothes off, their guys take their shirts off and they got shorts on, and the women have a little bra strap with their breasts, which you can hardly see anyways because the blubber is so extensive. I mean, it's not an attractive look. And I've seen that on a camera, and I think to myself, oh my God, help me, please give mercy to these people, Lord. What are they doing? They are like, you talk about, you know, putting it all out there. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, they say life imitates art, or is it art imitates life, or is it, I don't really know, friends. But reality shows, they're a big craze. I remember when they started coming out years ago, they had the singing contest, they had the overweight people, they had people stuck in forests and islands and what have you. In fact, there were so many of them coming out at times, I really couldn't keep up with them all, but they became a big, big craze across the states here and really around the world. In fact, a lot of these contests, they had like the American version, they had like different countries, the European version, they had, you know, Australian versions. It seemed to be the real phase that swept the world. And I think they're still going strong, actually. I don't know if there's even been a decline in these things. Some there have been, but they still keep coming, friends. And we're going to talk about that today. The reality shows, or the unreality shows, as they are. And we have joining us here, Erin Morgart comes to us from Los Angeles, and Gail Murphy, also from the great state of California out there. And you ladies are kind of central there to what's going on in the reality. You know far more about it than I know, very much so. But one of the things I want to start with, ladies, some people seem to be carrying this too far when we talk about reality shows. And what I mean by this is, let's take the world of YouTube, for instance. YouTube is, it's another reality sort of thing where a lot of people, it's changed their lives. They've started these shows, they've started like involving their families, and one show in particular in the news in the past week or two is this Daddy-O-5 show, which you probably all have heard of by now. They were a YouTube craze. It was a woman and a man, a married couple, and I understand that they have 5 children. I've never seen their show, actually, but my son has shown me clips now of it. And so what happened is they would do these pranks. They got like 750,000 followers on there, subscribers, if you will, on YouTube. They call them subscribers.
Yeah.
And they had like it was a real phase, and they would take the kids and they would kind of, it started out, I think, innocently enough. But then they started to get a little rough, and then they became up on child abuse charges, and they removed 2 of the kids from the household.
Oh, my.
And they removed 2 of the kids. And so what they did, Gail, is this was, like I said, in the news over the past week, and they took, invisible ink as the last thing. This was the straw that broke the back, as they say, the camel's back. They took the ink, and this invisible ink now, and they put it all over the kids' bedroom floor, Gail, okay, like over the carpet, right? Mm-hmm. And they made a mess of the room, basically, with the carpet and everything. Then they got the kid up there, and they just totally laid into the kid and berated the kid with, how could you, you know, really scared of me. The kid was crying and petrified and, you know.
And they're filming this whole thing.
Oh, they're filming the whole thing. This is the video. And the kid's physically upset. And then what the worst part about it is, Gail, not only are they physically scaring the kid, but the father is using language like you would be talking on the railroad with a bunch of truck drivers after you've had far too many beers in the afternoon, and you know, where, you know, every other word was an F-bomb. And this was in his home now, with his wife and the kids there. And it's, you know, F this, F that, and it's carrying on, and the kids crying, and the invisible ink's all over the floor, and it's maddening. And this thing got reported in.
They're scaring me.
Yeah, it takes a lot to scare Gail Murphy.
Hey, kids, they're scaring me. This is
They were brought up. I understand that they had to do family counseling now. It really changed their life.
It's almost like they were trying to reenact a paranormal activity with the invisible ink.
I think it got carried away is what happened, Aaron. And they kind of admit that. So what they've done since this, they took all their videos they made in private now. Like, they have all these massive subscribers. They're making money from the channel, clearly, raising, you know, probably supporting their family or doing whatever they're doing. And they took, and what they did is they sent them all to private, and then they put up a very emotionally intent video on the screen now. Just the one video. And it's an apology and sort of a come to Jesus moment, if you will, where, you know, we really messed up. And the woman, the lady there, the mom, is pouring her heart out. And the dad is going along with it as well. And they're trying to rationalize how irrational they became and how their quick claim to fame got the best of them and how they feel so bad. And now they're going through family counseling. But they still have all their subscribers. In fact, I think they've gained a few more, somebody told me.
I'm surprised, because typically when you have a show that's just on shock value and then you roll it back because somebody does have a come to Jesus moment, typically the audience mitigates elsewhere because they're no longer shocked.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, Gail. But I could be wrong on this, so, you know, I'm sure you'll folks tell me, but I understand they actually picked up some more. I mean, they got over a quarter of a million. I know that because we just checked this morning. Mm-hmm. And so I understand there are more people come in. But I think, like you do, usually people run far and wide from that sort of a conflict. Now, I will say this, Gail, Aaron, a lot of the comments on there, my son was reading some today to me, and they're really pretty horrific. They're like, you know, really not good comments. These people are obviously hurting. They made some bad choices. The emotional video up there right now is very, very intent and very heartfelt, I want to say. It seems to me that it is. Now, don't kill the messenger here, but that's my take on it. I just seen it. But yet, the comments are very crude and like, go die, and I hope you never get your kids back. And I mean, pretty rough stuff, as social media can be. You know how people lay into you, right?
Yeah, they could be saying, hey, you could have broken their arms. How come? I feel ripped off, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
or worse. Or they should all be in jail.
Well, they're saying things like that, actually, Aaron.
Sure.
You should be in jail and stuff like that. But so let's start with this. So if something like this happens as bad as this, which is this Daddy O5 thing, as an example, I mean, I want to ask you both, should we give a couple like this another chance? I mean, could this be just a real bad mistake, a bad, you know, point of judgment and character, maybe? I mean, do we give them another shot? I bet they're coming back with another show once they learn their lessons here. I don't know. Probably.
Well, it's hard to know, because people become successful based on, usually it's the first shot off the bow. Is what typically makes them popular, and it's really all about water cooler conversation, and you continually have to top yourself. To me, this is like a show called How to Torture Your Children, and each week the audience gets to see you come up with another way of, you know, screwing with your kids. And by the end of the season, the cliffhanger is, you know, the kids in the hospital with broken bones. So if you were to turn that around and suddenly become a nurturing, attentive, loving family, nobody's going to watch you.
Well, now they're saying in the video, the heartfelt video they have up there right now, they're saying like that that this was a mistake, that they're now out of character and they're back to reality in real life. They call that in character.
Yes.
Now you wonder, of course, the child abuse people are not taking that too well, Aaron, when you say, you know, is that your real in character, or are you in character now where you're sort of apologizing and drooling over the thing? And was that more of you? I don't know that they believe them necessarily, you know?
Well, I believe that they were in character the whole time, and I Shows
So
like
you believe they're telling the truth then, that they were in character and now they're
I think they're playing a role. I think
role,
that
right.
someone is counseling them on how to treat the show and whether or not this apology is heartfelt or not. I think it's not going to matter. I think that they've gained more followers simply because now more people have heard about what has happened and they didn't know about the show before. So now it is going to, I think they will have another show. I think that
Yeah, because
it
they
could
kept
be
all their
something different.
subscribers. I see that didn't change, you know, so.
Well, you know, if I was an actress and I am getting into character, I get cast for a big movie, a big, $20 billion movie, and I'm getting into character as someone who is a thief, and I go to Malcolm's house and I completely destroy the house and I steal everything, and then I get caught by the cops. And then I say, oh my God, I was getting into character. It's, like there's $20 billion on the table. Are you kidding me? I'm practicing my craft.
So you think it's just a come on, possibly,
Oh,
Gail, huh?
please. Oh, please, please, please,
Yeah.
please,
Yeah.
please.
Well, they're definitely got some, you know, but there's a lot of, let's claim to fame. This was their claim to fame. But, you know, Gail, Aaron, there's a lot of folks out there who would do just about anything to have their claim to fame. And you're
Absolutely.
seeing it with all of these things out there. You take that dude, I'll give you an example, that dude from Subway. What was his name that was child abuse?
Oh, we're not even going to say his name.
Okay, terrific, terrific. Because I don't even
Child
remember it, but
abuse, yeah.
no, you're right. I don't normally give credit to those folks either, Gail. But that guy was doing some bad stuff, and Subway had him all over their brand, and he was like their poster child for losing weight and eating healthy. And then we found out he's like a pedophile, something other, right? He was a weird
Yeah,
dude.
well, pedophiles typically do live a double life. So it's not like, why didn't their family call the police? Why didn't a Subway pull the plug on it? You don't know. They live a double life.
Yeah.
Very much so, yes. Yep.
How much do you think this double life business goes? You make me think a minute, Gail, with that comment. How many, I mean, how normal is that where people live a double life, do you think, or
Well,
unnormal is it?
I have my one part of my little Gail Murphy toolbox is that I really don't believe you ever really know anyone. You know as much as you possibly can, or as, but at the end of the day, you never really know anyone. And and that's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just what I think. If you being in the news business, you hear and or just be a consumer or actually have a pulse and you're aware of your surroundings, almost every time they have these so many of these horrible things that that are perpetrated on people. I typically remember I guess it was about 8, maybe 10 years ago where a guy was a milkman in Pennsylvania, very close to where the Amish country is, and he took a gun and he went there and he got all the little kids together and shot all the little girls and then let all the little boys go. It was a horrible thing. He shot like 8 to 10 little girls. Consistently along the line, every single person that they talked to, they said, "That's not the man I know. This is the father of my children. This is my next door neighbor. He was such a good guy. He always let me use his lawnmower." This is
Yeah.
stuff that, as much time as it and as attention as they have into having the world see them as a good person, they also take that same time and attention pushing this stuff down.
You actually hear that a lot in life where you're right, Gail, the neighbor goes
Oh
off or
my
something
God.
happens, or these crime scenes where, well, you know, I thought Jack was a really good guy. I mean,
Precisely.
he was phenomenal. I mean, I don't understand. He
And then
related to everybody, you know, huh?
people that are not involved at all say, "Oh, come on. Get out of here. How could you not know?" I mean, you take those two boys that killed all this their classmates in Littleton, Colorado. When they went through the parents' house, they found like 65 bombs in the garage. So
Yes.
I get this idea in my head. I think mom pulls her car into the driveway and says, "Son, get over here. Why are these bombs here? I told you to put them in your room."
You know, I got to tell
How
you,
did he not
Gail,
know?
Aaron, I must lead a very boring life in my life. As exciting as I think it is to be Malcolm Out Loud, I am what you see here is what you get. I use the word authenticity quite a bit, but I am what I am. I bring it all to the dance of life. You either like it or you don't like it. I don't care. But I don't really have another program. But I always say I don't have another agenda in life. Gail. So I'm kind of taken back by a lot of this, where people have this double side. This it's almost like that evil twin. What was her name? Sybil or something? Sybil, yeah, right? In the movie there.
Yes.
No, she had multiple
She had
personalities.
multiple things. Yeah, she
Yeah.
wasn't just one other person. She was
But
like a whole lot of other
she
people.
didn't do bad things. She did bad things to herself.
Yeah, she was a
Right.
lunatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but I wouldn't exactly trust her at the dinner table, but that whole point about Sybil, I mean, so what you're saying, you think, Gail, there are a lot of Sybils out there, more or less, with more than one personality, huh?
Well, the reality is we have a mental health crisis in this
Crisis,
country.
interesting, mental health
But
crisis. Wow.
yes, we have a mental
Well,
health, and
that kind
I'm
of
not.
plays into this a little bit, Aaron, where we're talking about this YouTube thing. I mean, mental health, I mean, how stable? Now, listen, all right, let's break this down since we started with this YouTube thing and the Daddy O5 thing. I mean, we talk about mental health. And Gail, you bring up a very valid point when we talk about in this country and we get into real problems of violence and other things. And, we always come back to, oh, why didn't we look at their mental health? So here you have a family, a couple, and I mean, he's up there berating the kids with F-bombs every other word or so, and their kids are petrified and crying and carrying on, and they got the room is a mess, they destroyed it, all to get the camera there and capture this. I mean, sounds like a bad film, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And I feel like if they're trying to reenact a reality show, or if it really is authentic, we don't know. Because I think that they know that whatever is going to produce the most shock value, that's definitely going to bring in more viewers, subscribers, and so
But
I
what
think
trade-off, Aaron? I mean, it is a trade-off where you're willing to jeopardize your kids? I mean, what kind of values does that bring to a couple? I mean, listen, I got sympathy for the folks. I see her crying there on camera. Now, I assume this is her real self now and that she's not in character anymore, but I really don't know. I
Well,
don't
we
know
don't
her.
know. That's the whole thing, and that's
Maybe
the key.
this is maybe she's in character now and they really are a couple of rough people.
Well,
Maybe,
for these people, their children are strictly inventory.
Yes, exactly.
That's how
Yes.
they perceive it, because they have a larger vision, and
They
their
may not even
vision.
be their own children. I'm
It
just
may
kidding.
not even it may not even be their own children. It's television. It's
But then we get
television.
very curious, and then here's the thing about we this back to this voyeurism where we sort of like life imitating art or art imitates life, and then we so, people I don't know what it is about human beings, but we sort of like I think a lot of people like what I call the misery factor. And they love to see these kinds of things blow up in one's face. And you know what it brings? It brings out all the clowns at the circus. All the clowns in the circus comes out. They all come out now. And they're all, and they're, and they become, like I say, you read the comments on their YouTube channel, and it'll send chills down your spine to see how ugly are people. And then once you read the comments, you then sort of maybe almost feel sorry for the couple, knowing how demented they were to begin with
Yeah,
and
I'm looking at the
how
comments now.
sadistic the whole thing is. And then you kind of sort of maybe feel sorry. I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, when it comes to television, reality television, whether it's streamed, whether it's online, whether it's broadcast or whatever, at the end of the day, it's all about eyeballs, it's all about audience share, it's all about friends, fans, and followers. Period. End of the day.
Gail, I got to be careful of that myself in my own world because, I'm a person that likes to bring good news to the table. I like to make people feel good. And sometimes
And
we get
you
a.
do.
We,
And
thank
you
you for that, Aaron. But sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves and we think that, the good vibe or the good news doesn't sell. And then we sometimes lose it. And we're all guilty of this as human beings. And then we get a little more sensationalized, Gail, because of what you just said, the eyeball. So again, I digress, Your Honor. Be right back in a moment with Aaron Morgart and Gail Murphy. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Okay, and welcome back to the Gail Murphy and Aaron Moorcock Show with our skinny bitch.
Ooh, baby.
What's his name? Oh, yeah. Malcolm Out Loud.
Is this a reality show, Gail, or is this real live?
No, this is just us getting ready. This is just, we're taking over here, you see.
I love way you reference me sometimes. I got to tell you, social media, she, you know, she's just a friend when they call you the skinny guy out. And so, I mean, that's what she calls it. Yeah, I guess that's a form of a compliment, maybe. I don't know.
Skinny white guy.
Yeah, skinny white guy. Skinny, I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, I would say metrosexual. You're a metrosexual person.
I am indeed. I take care of myself, and I'm very proud to say that, Aaron Morgott, and I'm not ashamed at all. Does everybody out there know what the term means, first of all? You know, let's make sure of that. It's a guy who knows who he is. He's a real guy, loves women. I mean, he's got his whole thing in balance here. Let's be clear on that. But he takes care of himself. So he's not afraid to use stuff to make your under your eyes look better or your face. Or, you know, they take pride in who they are. That's kind of my description of a metrosexual is. Is somebody who embodies goodness in who they are. I mean, goes that extra mile. Is that a horrible explanation, or is that
no,
making any
it's a good
sense?
One.
That's okay.
It's a good one, because you know the difference. Everyone, it's so funny. We talk about reality TV. Everyone's always like talking about, what's the difference between men and women? Men and women. What is the difference? You know what the difference between men and women is? One molecule of DNA. I am 49% female, and you are 49% female. You are 51% male. I am 49%.
So you're saying sometimes we show, sometimes it's a good thing if I show my feminine side and you show your masculine side.
Well, isn't that the way it works? The duality of the universe?
Mm-hmm.
You can't have night without having day.
And you can't have a knife without a fork, right?
That's exactly right. Thank you very much.
That's true. Unless you're hermaphrodite, in which case you would be the...
Then it doesn't count. It doesn't count, Aaron. You're too smart. Smart. Well, you bring up a really good point, Gail. So take that further for me. This whole thing about... Because this show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, is based... I mean, our whole tagline on this is... It's a gender thing, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole essence of this show, which is kind of cool, Gail, yeah?
No, well, we're talking about reality TV right now, and big companies and corporations have a huge investment in making it about gender. It's not, because first and foremost, we are people. We are, and men are one side of the coin, and women are the other side of the coin, and both have very specific and really hard jobs to do.
And what are those jobs we have to do?
Well, one is the hunter-gatherer.
Right.
The other is the keeper of the flame, and whose job it is to keep the species moving.
Well, Gail, yes. Let me ask you now, because for real, a lot of people would hear what you just said, and they would say that's a sexist comment.
No, but it's not. Basically, it's you're not talking about this is your role in life.
Mm-hmm.
We are just talking about the prime directive. Now, you can take the prime directive and contour it any way you want to.
Oh, I see.
It's your life. You do what you want to do. But at the end of the day, genetically, in terms of our DNA, our DNA is thousands of years old.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
This is it's our coding. What we do with that coding is our individual rights as a species, or well, depending upon who the president is, but it's our individual right as a creature to self-design.
Interesting.
But it would
That is
be
very
easier
interesting.
if I decide I want to be a fully feminine woman. I get to decide how I want to use that
Okay.
or not.
All right. Let me
It doesn't mean I have to have children.
Well,
It doesn't.
you're a total feminist. I mean, everybody, Gail, knows that and loves you for that reason.
I'm an individualist. I
Yeah,
just
but you're an
believe in
individualist. I totally
self-realization.
love that vibe of you. And you're a feminist and celebrate that. You celebrate who you are. Now, I want to ask Erin something. Erin, do you consider yourself a feminist?
Yes and no. Yes, because yes, I did read as a psychologist and getting my degree. I was actually I grew up with very strong women. My mother was a math professor. She emphasized education, as I mentioned in another show. Both parents, education before anything. That included dating or social life or anything of
You're
that
a
matter.
feminist, you're a feminist, you're a feminist.
But
It's only the belief in the rights for women. I mean, there are millions and millions and millions of girls around the world who are by law not allowed to be educated.
true. But let me finish. I read Betty Friedan's book on my own, the original. I wasn't totally into Gloria Steinem, but Betty Friedan's book was interesting. However, I feel like there are rules to play, especially with given our DNA and actually who our creator is, and he did create us male and female. So I do not buy into the I could be this, I could be that, because in the studies that I did,
You're talking about the transgender movement,
oh,
Erin?
absolutely. In the studies I did, in the studies that they show in psychology, the only. And again, these were qualified studies. It showed that women were not, they did not have the hormones available to become I just want to, well, a lesbian. They did not, it was a choice. They either had something happen to them. Usually it was a rape or something of that
Something
nature.
in their life that may be
Yes.
traumatic
So
or something else that brought them to that point. And that's a real conversation out there for another day,
oh,
clearly.
it is totally, but
Whether somebody is born with that DNA or whether they accumulate it through life experiences and things. But I wonder, you just mentioned the transgender thing. I want to ask you, do you think, I wonder, I'm surprised actually, or maybe there is one and I don't know about it. I'm surprised there's not a reality show on transgenderists. I mean,
Oh,
does that
there
exist?
will be
Oh, well,
seasons.
there is the Bruce Jenner thing.
Well, that's true, I guess. Does he have a show? Is he a reality? I mean, he is a
Yeah,
show.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she has a show. I think he
I'm
does. I don't know if it
sorry.
got canceled or
What
not,
do they
but
call that show, Gail? Do you know the name of
I
it?
can't remember
Okay,
what
all right, cool. But there
season
is one, and
it's.
he's on somewhere.
Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner.
It's called, and that, I mean, that is, his whole life is sort of a.
Something like Life with Caitlyn or
Oh, I
something like that.
see.
Yeah.
I see. It's one on one of those. I knew there's something he's
It's
doing
on
or she's
E.
doing, but.
Ryan Seacrest, who created and produced Keeping Up with the Kardashians, he also did the spin-offs, which were Kourtney and Kim,
Yeah.
as well as Caitlyn Jenner.
You know, Ryan Seacrest, Gail, it's been pointed out to me recently by a dear friend. He is not only one of the most, he's one of the busiest human beings on the planet in entertainment and things he's doing, but is this guy, is there anything he's not doing?
No, I wouldn't say there's nothing he's not doing. He's a smart, savvy media guy who is very open and understands and appreciates technology and what people like to consume, guilty pleasures. And he's very, very successful. I mean, like Mark Burnett, who
Yes, I like
created The
Mark.
Apprentice and The Biggest Loser and Survivor and Shark Tank and.
Yeah, we've had Mark on the national radio show before with some of his new films he's released and stuff. I mean,
He's a lovely guy, a lovely, lovely guy.
he's great. It's awesome.
I've interviewed him several times. He's just.
Have you ever interviewed Ryan Seacrest or been
Oh,
with
yeah. He's a local LA radio guy, and I was local LA for many, many, many years.
Yeah, I find it fascinating the things he has his hands involved in. So, with all the reality shows out there right now, what are the ones you watch or listen to, Gail, beside Life, Liberty, Pursuit of Pleasure? What else do you watch or
I
listen
don't watch reality television at all.
to? At
All I have
all.
to do is turn on the news, and that's reality enough for me.
See, you're just like I am with that. Just like
I'm
I
the same
am.
way as well. Absolutely.
So we're not consumers of this art then, huh? The
Not
reality art.
necessarily. I just wanted to throw this in there, and I'm not throwing this in there as a wrench because we're talking about reality. And I knew that Aaron was going to say, I don't really watch him either. Health care is easy, reality is hard.
House care is easy?
Health care is easy,
Oh.
reality is hard. I mean, I
Yeah.
would be more interested, Malcolm, skinny blonde guy. Why people don't watch reality TV as opposed to why they do, because they already have a name for why people don't watch it. They call it a guilty pleasure. They call it like watching a fire.
Well,
Can't
so
work.
I'll answer you that question.
Okay.
Why they don't watch it, you're saying, rather than why they do, right? Well, I don't watch it because I find it a total waste of my time. In other words, there are X amount of things I want to do in a given day. And being a person of life and one that reads and studies and watches people's habits psychologically, news and events and headlines around the world and things that impact us in real life here, in real reality, those are the things my time is spent on. And, I mean, that my different facets are the brink of greatness, finding the goodness in people, doing that kind of thing. But I'm also a hard news commentator and speak about those kinds of things. So I find reality show, these shows are for people. My reflection of it, Gail, is for people who bury their head in the sand. They don't really want to focus on real life. I think it's a cop out for people who run away from real reality. They don't want to deal with the day's business, and so they go and watch all these to occupy their time.
Here's the thing. Here's the
That's
thing. I
what I
got to
see.
stop you because here's really what I think is happening. It's so easy for us to say, and I've been in these kinds of conversations with people. It's so easy for people to say why they don't watch it, and they always make it about themselves. It's not about us. We are just not the target demo. I don't watch cartoons either because I'm not the target demo.
So who's the target demo?
I don't know. That would be something that would be really interesting to determine, but it's not us.
Yeah, it would be up to the Nielsen
We're
ratings,
just not
which
the
is easy to
target demo.
find.
You know, I think I love the idea of letting ourselves off the hook by not making it about us, like not taking yet another issue that we make about us. We're not the target demo. It's not targeted to us. There's nothing in there. It's like if you're a vegetarian, you're not going to go to Ruth's Chris and meat chop house.
Well,
There's just nothing there for you.
I find it pretty lame. I mean, the reason I'm not the target audience, I find it
There's
very
nothing
lame.
there for you.
Nothing there.
Yeah,
Exactly.
you're not
Right.
the target demo. All that stuff is completely worked out so that every single person that watches those shows and sees it walks away completely happy.
Yes, exactly. That's so true. I filmed a reality show back in 2014, and it's actually being pitched now. And yeah,
What's the show
well,
called?
that's still under NDA, according to my partners and my attorney. But it has to do, of course, with social media and true life stories that happened to us. There are eight of us in the show.
You don't watch and participate in social media, but you—I'm sorry—in reality shows, but you wanted to be in this one.
Well, I was approached. I was actually they wanted to cast me in it, and
So, Gail, if you were approached to do a reality show, would you do it?
well, it would depend upon what it was about.
Okay.
And this one actually was something not like a catfish show. So our aim was to solve the problems of social media and try to get people to get away from it more and focus more on real life.
Well,
And
we've done that as a practice on this show, actually. We've had several multiple shows about social media. We did one, I know you were in one, Aaron, with one of our other co-hosts, and we talked about the whole, it's sort of a, for a lot of people, it's a decline of a healthy life. They ingest
Absolutely.
too much of this stuff, and but I think whether you're ingesting social media, you're ingesting reality shows, I think too much of any of this stuff, if you're not really your feet planted on the ground and you don't have your own agenda in life, I think you become a casualty of the whole entertainment structure.
Oh my gosh, how nicely put.
No, Gail, do you agree or disagree with that, love?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd become a casualty. It alludes to something I just mentioned just a few minutes ago. It's all about balance.
Right.
You have to come into this world with that mechanism installed, which is the job of good parenting,
Yes.
which
Yes.
is installing that chip that always brings it back to a place of peace where you can stop and breathe and make an assessment and balance yourself out.
So then, if that's the case, and I believe you're onto something there, Gail, then the people who do like a lot of these reality shows, I mean, they watch them, they set their clock by them. And there are folks out there who do that. I mean, isn't that a problem? Aren't they lost in the weeds?
Necessarily,
No?
because I don't think we can paint all reality television with the same brush. I don't think we can look at something like The Bachelor with the same expectation as something like Shark Tank.
That's
Now,
very true. Very
Shark
true.
Tank has changed people's lives, or The Biggest Loser. It's inspired. And it's empowered people, and that empowerment has allowed those people who actually took it in for what it was, and it changed their lives, and therefore it changed the lives of themselves, their families, maybe even their own communities.
So in that case, it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would, yes, absolutely. It's all in the eye of the beholder. It's
Absolutely.
what you do with it. It's not what it is, it's what you do with it. Now, you don't watch any reality TV, and I don't have any watch any, and Aaron doesn't, because we don't have anything to do with it.
Well,
Whether
listen, I've never seen an episode of Shark Tank. I hear the words. I have no idea what the show, the motive is of the show. I don't have a clue. Now, The Biggest Loser I know a little about because somebody else, I've seen it on the camera, I've seen it on the show, and I always leave the room. But there I do know that very large people who should have, in my opinion, never got that large to begin with, and they get on there like tipping the scales at like crazy amount of weights, like something our body wasn't designed to do, like 400 pounds or 350 pounds or something. I mean, that's a Mack truck coming down the road, you know? And
Well, they
they
have
and I'm not trying to
issues.
be disrespectful. Hold
They
on.
have issues, yeah.
Well, they have issues. Thank you, Miss Murphy. And they get up there and they take their clothes off, like their clothes, their shirt. Their guys take their shirts off and they got shorts on, and the women have a little bra strap with their breasts, which you can hardly see anyways because the blubber is so extensive. I mean, it's not an attractive look. And I've seen that on a camera, and I think to myself, "Oh my God,
And
help me, please give mercy to these people, Lord. What are they doing? They are like, you talk about, putting it all out there. I mean, and you talk about being like a schoolyard bully, and, people look at these people and how can their life ever be sane again? And is that a form of, okay, they're just being authentic or they've gone off the deep edge? And we're going to answer that question just
I
ahead with
don't
Gail
think it's
Murphy
about, I
and
don't
Aaron
think it's about.
Morgard. We are excited indeed to be celebrating our 1 year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our 1 year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America out loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com. Gail, you were saying during the break, you had a very good point when we were talking about this show that they called The Biggest Loser, which is really a very interesting title. I mean, it's self-deprecating to call yourself the biggest loser, I guess. It's weird.
It is.
I don't get that.
You were talking about these people whose bodies were in a state of emergency. And they were willing to, because they were had no more cards to play in terms, they were out of control. They just revealed it all on television. And then you said, I hope God has mercy on them. And I said, and in the break, I said, really, Malcolm, it's not about a higher power giving these people mercy. It's about these people allowing themselves to give themselves mercy. Because they don't have the cards to play. They don't know. They've never been informed. And if they have been informed about healthy eating and staying healthy, it might have interested them, but they had no idea how to do it.
That is a really interesting point to me, Aaron. And here's why. The point that Gail makes right now, because here's the thing. I question, playing off of what you just said, Gail, when I see that sort of thing, I question, you know, to myself, like, do they not like themselves enough? Or how did they get that far out of control? When did they discover one day that they woke up and said, oh, shit, man, I am 322 pounds. Yeah, I'll just keep eating and enjoying life. What the hey? And then you wake up another day and, oh, I'm 367 pounds. And, eh, I'll just keep doing the same lifestyle. It's okay. And then you wake up and you're 411 pounds. And it's like, oh, shit, you know?
Well, you know, they just don't get heavy. They get depressed. They get inside themselves. They have issues. It's not, in other words, what you're seeing, the size, it's like an iceberg. You're only seeing the tip of it. There's so much going on underneath it. You can imagine if you're going to get that big, you're taking a lot of junk into your system. And yeah, that junks with you. It messes your mojo. It gets you off your game. It gets you out of this world. You're living on another planet.
I think the bigger point that Gail brings up is a real eye-opener for people. And she's spot on, actually. I think she hit the home run with that comment that it's got nothing to do with the weight. It has everything to do with the fact that their life is out of control.
Oh,
and there
absolutely
are other pieces of their life that are obviously crumbling in front of them, and they can't grasp it. They can't grab onto it.
They don't have a tool for it. They don't have a card for it.
So that is really, really a sad case to me. And so what I want to ask you both then, why are people liking those? Do they see themselves in these shows, or what happens?
Many times. I think people watch those. There's a lot of shame with being unhealthy. There's a lot of shame with being unwell. There's a lot of secrets. And I think what happens sometimes is if you're isolated, which many times, you know, people that are in that sort of shame spiral are very isolated, they see themselves in these people, and it makes them not feel so alone. And yeah, the residual of that is possibly they're not so far down that they become inspired.
What do you mean they become inspired? You mean if they don't get so far down?
Well, if they're not so have you ever been unwell, Malcolm? I'm sure you have. We all have, like when you get the flu.
Yes,
or you just,
yes.
One of the first things is you're not thinking straight. You're just not thinking straight. It's like, why? I should have gone to the doctor 2 days ago. I know better than that. Why? You don't think, you don't think straight. Well, can you imagine 20 years of eating really, really, really crappy food with no game plan, with no awareness of that this stuff could hurt you, or it's a one-way ticket to Palookaville. You just become unwell and you just are not thinking straight.
The point is, people are lost in all of this, I think. And how can your life become that far of a movement? And I mean, what's the wake-up call that finally gets them, Gail? What is the point of their life? Is it that they get to 500 pounds? Is it that
Well,
something else happens in life? What is the wake-up call that somebody finally says, I've got to do something?
it's probably diabetes. It's some kind of health scare.
That really wakes them up, huh?
Yeah, or they can't pick up their own kids.
And then what? And then they finally smell the, and then they finally get with it?
By grace they do. Yeah. I mean, it's called denial, and that's not a river in Egypt. Being an overeater is an ism, like alcoholism
Yeah,
or
it is,
drug
I
addiction.
guess, huh? Yeah. With the whole reality thing then, Gail, if people are having too much of this, what how it, some of these people we're talking about where their life does spiral out of control. I mean, these are the folks where reality shows can actually help, you're saying, whether it's the biggest, but then you take a look, well, wait a minute, you've got the self-help shows like a Biggest Loser show, but then you've got these music shows where you discover talent and things like that. How do you compare those two? You can't really. They're totally different, right?
Well, they're totally different. Well, because they have a different target demo. They target different segments of the audience. Now, Biggest Loser doesn't get the same numbers that American Idol does, but in terms of its target demo, it probably does. It's all very, very specifically
They're
targeted.
very
This is a
targeted
numbers
shows,
game.
yeah.
Yeah,
They're
yeah,
very, the
yeah.
demographics,
Because
yeah.
that's Malcolm, because that's how they sell their advertising.
Right. Oh,
Because
that's where the business is. That's where the money is, yeah.
that's where the money is. So American Idol can sell Coke and Pepsi, and Biggest Loser can sell Jenny Craig and drugs and pharmaceuticals.
Do people pull out of a show like this? Do they pull out the good things that they might learn, or do they pull out of a show people's misery? What gets them off when they watch these shows, Gail?
I think it depends. Some people are elitist and they like to see hours. It's like, what makes that family want to torture their children on television? It's what gets you off. But the whole idea is understanding and appreciating. And I don't think Aaron and I can say this enough. It's just frickin' TV. It ain't real, babe.
Well, but in the case of the Daddy-O-5 show, where they take this reality show, they put it out on YouTube like this.
We don't know if it's real. We don't even know if they're a real family.
Well, it's been reported on. I haven't heard any reports that they're not.
Well, okay, maybe there's a lot of money on the table. We don't even know if they're a real family.
The child custody people have two of their kids.
Okay,
I
so,
mean,
all
so
right.
it appears they are a real family. I haven't heard any reports to say they're not, Gail. I mean, we can pretend that it doesn't exist, but this family exists.
Maybe they just didn't like those two kids anyway, and they're still making enough money.
Well, it's a good question. I don't know why those two kids. I guess they were more interactive with that particular show, I'm assuming. But usually, when they just focus on that a moment. Usually, if they come in, from my knowledge of this business, if they take one or two of your kids, normally they do take them all. So I don't know. I don't know what the whole
You know,
ramifications.
when Ozzy Osbourne did his TV show,
Oh
he has
yeah.
three kids, not two kids. And he has an older daughter, and she said, "You know what, Dad? Go with God. I'm not doing your TV show. And you're not going to talk about me, and you're not going to have pictures of me, and I'm not going to be part of it. I'm going to live my life. You do what you need to do. I need what I need to
I
do."
sort of remember that. She
Yeah.
didn't play into the whole voyeurism thing, did
She's
she?
like, "No." She's like, "I'm not having it.
Yeah.
You do your thing, Dad.
Well,
I'm
you
not
kind
going."
of can't blame somebody for wanting to keep their life themselves, their private life to be private. I
Well,
mean, nothing
she
wrong with that.
sounds like a very grounded woman.
Yeah. I mean, why get up there and, I mean, unless you're into that, again, it's a whole different scene where these people come out. I mean, I mean, and that's the thing. If you get to a point in your life that you're that desperate and you're 450 pounds and you want to take your clothes off with the camera, just about, and leave just a little strip on with your weight just hanging over the edges of life, I mean, that's a sign of desperation.
Well, yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. In other words, they don't want to kill themselves. They don't want to die, but they know that they're on a collision course. And when you're desperate, you'll do anything.
Anything.
And if all I have to do, if I'm going to make my life better, and all I have to do is show my blubber on TV, then take me. I'm donating my body to reality
Gail,
television.
do you think Ray, yeah, donating my body? I love it. Do you think that it's like donating my body to science? Okay, man, you taking over
You
reality
take it. Just
shows.
fix me. Just
I know.
fix
Just
me,
do something
man.
with it. It's or that old. I remember the saying. You're a work of art, or you're a work of art, man. You're it takes time. Takes time to fully. Do you think these reality shows, do you think they're going to burn out anytime soon, Gail, or will they always be with us, in your opinion, coming from Hollywood Central there?
Well, I don't, you have to get real about this. Miss America was even a reality show, and that's in January of 1954.
That's a good point. I never connected that, but that is a reality show. That is the core reality show, isn't it? It probably started it all.
And in the 1990s, the first of the modern reality show, which is 1989, is Cops, and that still has a very
Well,
long
wasn't
shelf.
MTV doing a lot of those reality shows too, Gail?
Yes,
Yeah.
The Real World.
The
Yes,
Real World. They were doing
yes,
those things, and those were
yes.
very successful, weren't they?
Yeah, and they started in 1992.
19, so that was an early one right there.
That was an early one right there. Absolutely.
And that one did like really well.
And they had like four or five different spin-offs, and that was I've never watched it, but it was very targeted to that specific age demographic.
Well, it's about keeping it real, and it's about not being too complacent in your life, really, is what it comes down to have this
It's by
balance.
staying, look, if you're not inspired, you can't do any of it.
That's right. That's if you're not inspired, you can't.
You
That
have
is.
to stay inspired. Don't know how to stay inspired? Go to Google and put in, how do I stay inspired?
Well,
There's a
or.
lot of people writing about this stuff.
Well, and furthermore, I'll plug this right now, Gail Murphy. I bet you didn't even know this. If you go to just malcolmoutloud.com,
Yes.
you'll also see there's a whole lot of inspiration there. You'll see a whole nother side to my world, Gail Murphy. Malcolmoutloud.com, because it's all about inspiring people. It's about being innovative as a people, and it's about all the no politics there now, kids, and no, it's all good stuff. It's the richness of life. It's actually the stuff that excites me the most. MalcolmOutloud.com
I have to go look
and
there.
BrinkOfGreatness.com, where it's all about celebrating the goodness in people. Those are the things that I really enjoy doing, Gail, more than any of it. I mean, the other stuff we do, I guess I'm well-rounded, I guess, as a person. I have my hands in a lot of different things. But the real inspiration for me is the inspiring. Isn't that funny? The inspiration is the inspiration.
Well, one of the things that I love talking with you, that my takeaway is that you're always open to being inspired.
Exactly.
That's one
100%.
of
And
your qualities that I find so nice and sweet and very forward-thinking.
Gail Murphy, you inspire me every time I talk to you. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you.
Oh,
If
you
I grow up.
can't.
If I grow
Yes,
up.
you never will.
Well, the reality craze again in this Daddy-O-5. We'll see what happens here. Life, liberty, the pursuit of pleasure, friends. 5 p.m. every day, 11 p.m. is the encore. Catch us again, that's EST, but you can catch us anywhere in the world. And by the way, we've got a huge following coming out when I talk about Europe. Out of Europe. A lot of people are following the show. We can see from the numbers that we're tracking in the analytics, which is pretty amazing. So that's the connectivity of the show, and it's what, a lot of the cool things about technology that you're able to do. This is our form of our version of our reality show, Life, Liberty, the Pursuit of Pleasure. But Gail, this is a real reality here,
I
huh?
was going to say that, and I was sitting here thinking, so what is it? It's reality podcasting
Well, it really
or
was to take,
reality,
well, it was the
reality.
idea of taking these 10 extraordinary women and really continuing the march forward, what I call the real woman's march and a real people's march. And I just sort of counterbalance the whole gender conversation. I'm having a good time with it. But I'm learning a lot. I want you to know out there, I am learning a ton. Make no mistake. I hope you are too. But I'm learning a ton from these 10 extraordinary women. There are days that I leave the show here shaking my head with amazement of some of the things we're learning. Anyways, catch us there. The apps, by the way, stream us live. Also, if you just go to iHeartRadio, we stream 24/7 on iHeartRadio. Is one of the big networks we're on, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Just look us up there and do that on iHeart so they see. Got a lot of traffic building there. We've now gone live. We have the podcast there, but our radio signal is on there now, Gail, as well, which is really, really cool. So you'll catch us there, folks. Thanks for joining us here again, Gail Murphy, Aaron Morgard. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.